It is good that we can be together again for the study of the Word, and we trust that the message from the Word today will meet an individual need in your individual heart, for we want to make this message as personal as we possibly can. Will you bow your heads together with us now for a word of prayer? Once again, dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have coming to you in the name of the Lord Jesus and recognizing that thou art listening to us as we pray. Do look upon us with favor today and meet our individual needs. Show yourself strong in behalf of those who have placed their trust in thee. Grant that there will be something in the Word today that will help us to understand and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are studying together, as you know, the Gospel of Matthew, the message of John the Baptizer, emphasizing John's message related to repentance, having explained to you that there are six different categories of repentance. We emphasize that John's repentance was related to the fact that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And we said that that message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, stopped with the apostles. Now listen carefully to what I've said. I didn't say that the preaching of repentance stopped. I said the preaching of repentance, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, stopped with the apostles. Now, because I made that statement, I said that it would be good for us to understand the difference and the likenesses between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. For the two words are mixed up by a lot of people. They are used interchangeably in the Word of God, but always with distinction. We gave you the very simple definition, which we said we would like to amplify a bit in our discussion today. And that very simple definition is that the kingdom of God is within, and the kingdom of heaven is on the earth. The kingdom of God is secret. The kingdom of God is visible. To think with you about the visible aspect of the kingdom of heaven, then turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which deals primarily with the resurrection, but in dealing with the resurrection talks about the culmination of all things. Notice, please, verse 24, where Paul, after speaking of the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of believers at the end of the age, says, then cometh, notice the word cometh is in italics, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up, that is, when the Son of God shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. He must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. These verses of Scripture speak of the kingdom of heaven, the literal reign of Christ upon the earth. After Christ has ruled upon this earth, put down all of his enemies, and all authority, and all power, after he has put all of his enemies under his feet, then he will deliver unto God the kingdom, and God will be all and in all. If I did not discuss this subject with you any farther, if you are thinking, you would be able to recognize that the kingdom of God cannot possibly be the same as the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of God is not on this earth. Christ is not ruling at the present time over all men. He is not even making a dent in putting all enemies under his feet. As a matter of fact, he's not even attempting that in this present age. For in Psalm 2, which you may read at your convenience, we are told that he is sitting right now at the right hand of God. He's waiting until that stated time in God's divine plan when his enemies shall indeed be made his footstool. Now for the other aspect, turn please to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17 and notice another statement to verify what I've said. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, when Christ was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, I pause to say that in their mind the kingdom of God was confused with the kingdom of heaven. When he was asked when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. That's the reason I say to you that it's secret, you see. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Now notice that statement, for it is a direct contradiction to what is recorded concerning the coming of Christ to establish his kingdom upon the earth. There's no point, he said, in saying, lo here and lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Notice the difference. The kingdom of heaven is visible upon the earth. The kingdom of God is within the hearts of men. I am a member of the kingdom of God this day, for by his grace, God is the king of my life. You, if you have received Christ as Savior, acknowledge him as Lord, are members of the kingdom of God this very moment. In a sense, you are members of the kingdom of heaven. For when God established his rule upon the earth, you will rule and reign with him. One other passage of Scripture I would like to call to your attention, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Even after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the disciples were expecting the establishment of the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. Because they were expecting it and felt sure that it must be established, they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, before his ascension, notice, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Notice, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which God hath put in his own power. Now, earlier in the discussion, I suggested to you that never again would anyone need to preach to Israel in the sense that John the Baptizer did, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Acts chapter 1, verse 6 emphasizes the peculiar quality of the message which John the Baptizer declared. The disciples asked the question, will God at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? As you know, the kingdom had been wrested from the hands of Israel in what we might refer to in a very general way in the Old Testament days for 400 years, and Israel had been without a king, without a ruler, without a kingdom. Then John the Baptizer came as a forerunner, and his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or in the words of Acts chapter 1:16, repent, for God is ready to restore Israel her kingdom. Now, let us go back to the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and stay close to the actual verbiage of the text and notice that John the Baptizer's message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he mean by the phrase at hand? I think that's important for us, just as important as it was for us to understand what the meaning of repentance is. Very important for us to know. Because individuals say that God never intended to establish his kingdom in the days of John the Baptizer and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, did he or didn't he? The phrase at hand is a translation of the Greek word agizo, and it is translated by our English words approaches, approaching, near, and ready. Glance at the passages of Scripture which we've made reference, and you will see that there is absolutely no doubt that John the Baptizer was saying, God is ready to restore the kingdom if you meet his conditions. In Hebrews chapter 10, in God's last call to the Hebrew nation before he scattered them among the nations of the world, Christians were encouraged with the words in verse 24. Notice them, please. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Notice the word approaching. It is the translation of this Greek word agizo, which is translated by the phrase at hand in the message of John the Baptizer. The writer of Hebrews is saying, as the day approaches, don't forget a very important thing, assembling yourselves together. This is good advice, excellent advice, needful advice for those of us who live in this particular hour, because the day that is approaching, which we look for, is the rapture of the church. As we realize that the day of the rapture of the church, that is, that event when God takes all believers out of this world, as we realize that the day of the rapture of the church approaches, it would be good for us to heed the exhortation not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If ever man needed to know the Word of God, he needs to know it today. And that's one of the reasons for our assembling ourselves together. Now, of course, we do hear the Word of God on programs such as this, and we're grateful for the privilege of teaching the Word, and I trust you are grateful for the opportunity of receiving it. But let me say to you that nothing, absolutely nothing, will take the place of assembling yourselves with the people of God. It's quite true. Some of you may be in places where the place of assembly is not always true to the Word, where the place of assembly does not always meet all of the things that you have in mind as a perfect place of assembly. But you can get your food through opportunities and messages such as this, and you can assemble with the saints and glean as much of the food as you possibly can from the Word. Well, we didn't get very far today in our discussion of the kingdom, did we? But we do know there's a difference. There is the kingdom of God, which is not seen by men, but is enjoyed by all of those who have placed their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust if you have not done that, you will do that today. God loves you. Christ died for you. Receive Him as your Savior and enjoy the blessings of eternal life.